Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
CU broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 NACUSO Network here in lovely Las Vegas. And look who we have in the studio lounge. Oh my goodness, it's Guy Messick.
And how are you, sir? He's dressed up. How about that?
You're wearing a jacket. You got a button down on.
Yeah.
Fancy.
I know.
Looking good, sir.
It's my Sunday to go to meeting clothes.
Is it? I love it. So how's the conference going for you? I know you're an integral part of this conference each and every year. So
it's the largest, and you probably heard this, largest conference we ever had, just shy of 600 attendees.
Mm-hmm.
Which, well done. Pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
And a lot of fintech-y type folks here, too.
Fintechs, a lot of credit unions for the first time.
Well, I hear there's a lot of smaller credit unions here as well, which is wonderful.
Collaboration is good for everybody, mm-hmm. but we think it's vital for smaller credit unions. So yep. I'm glad they're here.
Yep, me too. Yep. Me too. Alrighty, sir. Let's get to the topic at hand here, because I know your time is short. You got a busy, busy schedule, so we want to be respectful of your time.
Sure.
So the topic at hand here is using CUSOs to raise liquidity and capital for credit unions. And if anybody was at the GAC a few weeks ago, the main thing there was liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. So share with us, give us a quick overview here.
Well, what a difference a year makes.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Now, this time last year, liquidity was not an issue.
It was like the other way around.
Exactly. The COVID relief funds were still awash in the
mm-hmm.
system.
Mm-hmm.
Low inflation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what credit unions do. They have to react to the new cycle. And the new cycle, of course, is liquidity.
Right.
Credit unions are so credit unions often can make loans, but they don't have the cash to make loans.
Right.
And you know that's like it's like running your car without gas.
I know.
It doesn't run too well.
No.
So
it's a little scary.
So so I thought that was a timely topic. So that's why I said let me talk about the liquidity thing.
Right.
And you know one thing that CUSOs do is they help solve problems for credit unions. So I thought what are the things that CUSOs might do to help liquidity issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't think very much at first, but for example, CUSOs can help put credit unions together and carry credit unions together on loan participations,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but that really doesn't help because credit unions that we would expect to buy loan participation, they're having their own liquidity problems, so that probably doesn't work too well in this climate. Secondary capital. Some people tell you, well, let's go out and get secondary capital.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive process, not always successful,
mm-hmm.
and you got to pay the doggone stuff back. And so it's almost like borrowed capital,
mm-hmm.
And it's very expensive as the interest rates went up. It's almost, I think it's prohibitively expensive. So that's not really an answer. I'm serving on some CUSO boards now mm-hmm. in my quasi-retirement. One of them is Ministry Partners. And what they do is they make loans to churches and faith-based businesses. And what they do is they raise capital from individuals and institutional buyers.
Mm-hmm.
So they issue notes. So this CUSO, which is very unusual, is not getting all its funds from credit unions. They're getting it also by essentially selling notes to individuals and institutional buyers. So it's an alternative way to raise money, which was pretty innovative.
Yeah.
But they've been doing it for about 30 years.
Oh.
So it was innovative 30 years ago.
And now it's still
old news. It's old news. Yeah, that's right. Right.
Still is.
So it's a possibility. But there are certain security issues and practical issues you have to deal with.
Right.
So
right.
A good idea, maybe a bit hard to implement immediately.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Which brings me back to my topic that we spoke about last year is a sale leaseback. So if a credit union has property that they've owned for a number of years, and they paid it down by paying their depreciation, and the market has increased the value, there's
which
a lot of equity in there.
Yeah.
And that equity is not recognized in the credit union world unless it's sold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you don't want to disrupt your operation, so you lease it back.
Right.
So we've, at NACUSO Business Services, have helped do some sale leasebacks, and we did two last year. One was with Westcom, in February. Westcom sold its Pasadena office building for $59 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of liquidity. $50 million of that went to net worth and raised their the net worth ratio from 7.8% to 8.5%. Now, is it a good idea to do this for liquidity? Well, you get $59 million, but you know, you have to, the cost of the transactions are taken out.
Yeah.
You know, you have lawyers and appraisers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you also have to pay rent that you didn't have to pay before.
Right.
So is it a good deal? Well, on the plus side, you don't have the depreciation costs anymore. But also, you take the money that you've gotten and you loan it out. You use it to grow your credit union.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a growth mode at the credit union, you're going to make multiples of this liquidity
yeah.
that's now sitting in your yeah. lap as a result of
yeah.
sale leaseback.
Yeah.
Affinity did it as well. Affinity mm-hmm. Federal Credit Union in New Jersey
mm-hmm.
sold its office building. And they sold in December for, I got my notes here so don't make a mistake, $51,750,000.
Okay.
Now they leased back their building for 20 years. Westcom leased back their building for 15 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the payback term?
So, it's, yeah.
Okay.
So they put $25 million in their pocket on net worth and also increased their net worth ratio from 8.85% to 9.35%. So they're not increasing liquidity, they're increasing their capital as well.
Right. It sounds like they're, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like they're buying time as well.
Well, they're
when the market comes back.
Yeah, they're,
right?
They're putting themselves in positions so that they can react when the market comes
right,
back.
Right, right.
And in the meantime, they have cash to make loans to the members.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not, if they can't make loans to the members, you're out of business.
Exactly. Exactly.
At least it's temporarily.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of innovative ideas going on out there.
But in this sale, what makes a difference in this sale leaseback transaction is that the buyers aren't New York, you know, hedge funds. It's a CUSO.
Right.
These CUSOs are buying it. So in this case, 23 credit unions put up, let me see here, $56 million total to buy the two properties. And they're getting returns in 2022 of 5% annualized return. And every time the rent goes up, it goes up annually each year, you know, that's going to increase over time. So these credit unions have a pretty good earning asset.
So it's a pretty good investment for them as well.
Exactly.
For sure. Oh, gosh.
So,
would you recommend more credit unions do something like this, or is it just for certain credit unions in a certain situation, like what Westcom or Affinity, what they were in?
I think they got ahead of the curve a little bit
okay.
by getting liquidity, but it can be done in any market cycle.
Sure.
I would recommend that credit unions that own their own property have it appraised, take a look at what they're carrying it on their books,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and see how much capital and liquidity they could raise if they sold it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, if you have an office building and you sell it, it has a fair market value.
Yeah.
But if you sell it with a lease attached to it for 15 years, that value goes up.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
can increase the value that you're getting
oh, I see what
through
you're saying.
The sale leaseback. So
to be a numbers person, goodness.
Well, I rely upon numbers person. I'm not,
you know this stuff backwards and forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, in that's small ways, but not so small ways, CUSOs can help with this liquidity.
And very creative as well.
Yeah.
Very creative.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, I don't know how you, as a credit union, are able to respond quickly without finding another source of
yeah.
funds.
So was this a session that you gave here, or did you do this talk here, or is
well,
it just a topic that you have, and you've spoken on it before, obviously?
We've spoken on it before, and I gave a report to the general session about what we've
okay.
What we're doing.
So I'm just wondering what kind of reaction or what kind of feedback you got from your audience, or maybe since you first talked about this, what kind of feedback or reaction have you gotten?
Well, some say, geez, this sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look into it,
yeah.
So
when
we first talked to investors last year, that was their reaction, and we said, okay, now we'll call you back in a week, and you tell me after you thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, it's sound. You see, credit unions on the investor side, credit unions can make certain permissible investments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but the returns are relatively conservative given that the investment options are conservative. With this option, because you're investing in a CUSO, and the CUSO is able to realize these returns, you're not limited by that, by those usual investment limitations.
Right. And the beauty of all of this, and you probably, and you know this very well, it's all in the credit union ecosystem.
That's
you're
exactly right.
Keeping it in the family,
that's
so to
right.
speak.
It doesn't leak out.
Yeah. That's the other beauty part of it. So
yeah.
Good stuff.
So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
So excited.
All right. Anything else that you want to add here? Any takeaways from the CUSO so far? Because there's been a lot of good content so far.
It has. A lot of talk about blockchain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of hurdles to implement it widespread, but it has so much potential that we should keep talking about it.
Agreed.
You know.
Now's the time to get in there and dabble around. I just had Lou Grillion here from PSCU, and he's very well versed in that. He said, now's the time to start playing in that sandbox to check it out. So,
well, yeah, I mean, if you have something that you can trust from a digital standpoint, you do transactions and have accounts that cannot be compromised, that's something the creators need to look at. Because, frankly, as we are in a digital world, fraudsters are going to be more creative.
Of course.
So you have to have better tools.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely a balance there for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Always fun to
talk to
you.
Always good to be with you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're a busy guy here, so we appreciate your time and look forward to chatting again.
Take care.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? You're retired, but man, this is not a retirement.
No, I get it.
You are so active, tell you.
I got rid of the lawyer stuff and just doing the fun stuff.
Good for you. That's the way to do it.
All right. Take care.
Guy Messick, everybody, go check him out. Well done.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns' new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.